This is episode 214 of the Church Venture Northwest podcast. We're continuing Women's Camp 2018, Unfettered from Fear to Freedom with Julie Bernard. This is session 4 from Sunday morning, Broken to Beautiful, Fettered to His Glory.
Our women at our church, just from being here with you all and for what they've provided for us. So thank you, team. Great job. I feel like we've covered a lot of territory since Friday night, right? We've talked about being filled with fear to going from that place to being able to live bold and free by breaking the chains of anxiety, right? And how do we do that? We go back to the truth of the gospel. Right? Over and over again, every single day, the truth of the gospel impacts us and allows us to put fear and anxiety aside and behind us and to move forward. We also talked about breaking that fetter of distraction. So many things that vie for our attention, and they're not necessarily bad, right? They can be good. But they take our affection and our attention away from beholding the living God. But when we look away from those things, we look to the living God, then that fetter of distraction is broken. And then we can live in freedom in that arena as well. And then last night we talked about breaking that fetter of doubt, the doubt that creeps in. Does God really love me? And he really does, right? And then not only does he love me, but he's provided the Spirit in me, so I don't have to doubt at all. I don't have to live insecure, and so that fetter of doubt can just be shattered away. So today, we're going to move on from breaking free from those things that would chain us down and being fettered to God's glory. What a difference, right? Let's leave that stuff behind and be fettered and focused on God and his glory. So, before we get into it, we got to do would you rather, right? So, would you rather have sweet, or would you only have sweet, or would you rather only have salty? Okay? I know, that's hard, right? So who would rather to only have sweet? I know, it's really tough. Would you rather only have salty? Oh, I think the sweets might have won by a hair, I don't know. Okay, would you rather always be hot or always be cold? Oh boy, people knew the answer that fast. Okay, always be hot. Raise your hand. Always be cold. All right. Is that because you've been really hot sometimes this weekend? All right. Okay, last thing. Would you rather always be broken or always be beautiful? Okay, broken, yeah, beautiful, yeah, I know. But you know those three things? When you think about it, it's like you like the sweet because then you can pair it with salty, right? And then both of them are better, right? Sweet's not quite as good if you don't have some salty, and then you have a little salty, and then you want more, you know, it just goes together. Or hot and cold. You know how you're cold on the outside, and then it's like maybe a sunny day, and you're walking, you know, to your car, and you're kind of chilly, and then but the sun's been going through your car window, you know, and then you get in, and it's nice and warm, and it feels so good. But it wouldn't feel so good, nice and warm on the inside, if you weren't cold on the outside, right? So they kind of go together. Well, the same is true with broken and beautiful. You can't separate them. It's the broken that becomes beautiful, and we're going to dig into that in just a little bit. Because we would rather be beautiful, right? But it takes us the brokenness to get us to that place. So let's Let's go back to 2 Corinthians 3. We're going to read this these through few verses for one last time together. They say repetition is good, right? It helps us to remember. So, all right, let's read verses 12 through 18. Since we have such a hope, we are very bold. We don't have to be afraid. We can be very bold. Not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face so the Israelites might not gaze at the outcome of what was being brought to an end, but their minds were hardened, for to this day, when they read the Old Covenant, that same veil remains unlifted, because only through Christ is it taken away. Ladies, if you've been here this weekend, and you're like, well, all this sounds really interesting, but I really don't get it. I don't know what you're talking about. It could be that the veil hasn't been lifted, and you haven't seen who Jesus really is and what he's done for you. And let me tell you, remember we talked about the gospel Friday night, that Jesus died. And why did he die? Because he took with him all of our sin. And he was buried and he rose again, having victory over death. And now, if we put our faith, if we just simply believe that Jesus did that for us, then we can have a relationship with God that will never end. And so if you have been wondering, what is all this that they're talking about? That's what we're talking about. You too can have a relationship with the living God because of what Jesus has done for you. So as it says, turn to God, do it. Don't go back down the mountain not sure that you have a relationship with Jesus, okay? Yes, to this day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their hearts. But when one turns to the Lord, what we were just talking about, the veil is removed. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. We all, believers, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of God, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. We have great freedom, freedom from condemnation, freedom from guilt, freedom from sin, freedom from spiritual death, freedom from fear, freedom from the distractions, freedom from doubt, freedom from having to be and do enough, freedom from the chains of the old covenant that we talked about Friday night that brought death, right? We're free from that now, and we're free from the blindness to the gospel, and we're free to have access to the living God and to behold him. The veil's been removed. We get to behold who he is. We get to consider who he is, right? We get to think about it. We get to advise ourselves, tell ourselves the truth about who he is, right? We're not going to tell ourselves lies about ourselves, right? Not anymore. We're not going to let Satan have victory there, right? Instead, we're going to tell ourselves the truth about who God is. Are you with me? Are we going to do that? You didn't convince me at all. Ladies, let's don't tell ourselves lies about ourselves. Let's tell ourselves the truth about who God is and watch those chains drop, okay? Okay, good. Thank you. And then we're going to enjoy and experience him, right? We're going to behold his glory. His character that puts him above everybody else, that puts him in a class all of his own. We're going to behold his glory, and he wants us to behold him. He wants us to know him. So we're going to consider his infinite beauty, right? We're going to consider his greatness and his worth, his mercy, his forgiveness, his compassion, his power, his holiness. We're going to behold his glory. And as we go back down the mountain in just a few moments, really, my prayer for all of us is that God would really break those chains that have kept us from living in freedom, and that we really, really would be fettered then to God's glory, free to live victorious lives, passionate lives, soaring way above those ruts and the to-do lists and the duty and the ordinary, and that our fears would really just melt away as we head out. I want you to notice something in this text that we've been looking at over and over again. In the last verse, in verse 18, and we all with unveiled face, beholding the glory of God, and here's the result, are being transformed into the same image. The result of this, all of this, as we behold who God is that we will be changed, right? Bit by bit, and we're not going to be changed into a better version of ourselves. We're going to be changed into the image of God, and it's going to happen over our lifetime. It's not an instantaneous thing, right? God's going to continue to grow us as we continue to behold him and look at who he is, and then he is going to change us so that we become more and more image bearers of his son to the world that needs to see him, right? God's never done with us, never. I mentioned on Friday night that last fall my father-in-law passed away pretty suddenly, and within, I think it was like 4 weeks, we found out he had cancer at 79 years old, and he was working full-time until the day he went to the doctor, got the news, and then so quick, he went home to be with the Savior. And his pastor came several times in those few weeks, and he told us something after Wayne passed away, and he's sitting down with our family, and he said, you know, in these last few weeks, and the thing is, he knew Wayne really well because Wayne was his right-hand man at the church. He was his administrative pastor, and so he knew him really well. And he said, you know, I ask Wayne, when you get to heaven, besides Jesus, who do you want to see? And I was thinking, oh, I bet it's going to be his mom, you know? And then he said his dad. And I'm like, his dad? That's so weird because I've known Wayne since I was 15 years old. And I've been around the Bernard clan all these years, for 40 years, you know? And probably in those 40 years, I may have heard him speak of his dad twice, maybe. Because his dad, when Wayne was 17, his dad passed away of cancer. And his dad was sick for a lot of years. And I think that there just wasn't a good relationship. From what I could gather, that he just really didn't even know his dad, you know. And he didn't really ever have anything to say about him. But his mom took up the torch, you know, and raised the two boys on her own, working, and she loved the Lord and really poured into them, and she was a sweet woman, and if he was talking about a parent, it was always about her, and we knew her really well. She lived in their home for a while, too, so we got to know her really well, and so I was so shocked by his answer, and I'm like, huh, that's so weird. And then he went on to say, he said, because I understand now what it's like to be suffering, to be in pain, and to just not really be able to be present. And I want to go and I want to see my dad, and I want to say I'm sorry for not understanding. I'm like, hello, you are 79 years old. That's not that old, but it is older, you know, and you are on your deathbed, right? Literally, literally. And his heart is still soft. He is still being transformed, right? As he's beholding God, as he's recalling to mind all those things that he's learned over his lifetime about who God is, and God continued his good work in him. And that's what God wants to do with us till the moment we see him. He wants to continue to transform us into the image of his son so that we can be image bearers of him. He's going to do it from the inside out, right? From the inside out. He's going to change our passions. He's going to change our attitudes. He's going to change our purpose for living. He's going to change our character. And then his glory is going to shine through us. I want to move on. We're going to actually look at a different place, but only a few verses later. So we're going to move into 2 Corinthians 4 now. Okay? And the thought of God's glory, Paul continues that thought. The first few verses of chapter 4, he's going back to the Corinthians and he's reminding them, you know what? I'm the real deal. Don't listen to the false teachers, you know? And then he comes back to the thought of God's glory. And we're going to pick it up in verse 6. Well, let's pick it up in verse 5. For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ is Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. So he's telling them, you know what? I'm here on mission from God, right? For God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we believers, have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed. Wow. You know what this tells me? It's all about him. And he compares us. He says, you know what? You believers, you're like clay pots. And we have a picture, I think, of what one of those clay pots that he's referring to might have looked like. And that jar of clay that he's referring to is just an ordinary pot. And in those days, it would have been used to maybe haul water, you know, and also it'd just be used for ordinary things. And then also not only just, you know, for water, but it would also be used for a place to deposit human waste. This pot was nothing spectacular, nothing special, just ordinary. And that's the picture Paul is painting. That's who you are. You're just a clay pot. And not only that, but you're cracked. Those clay pots were pretty fragile, and they were cracked, and they were chipped, and they were broken. And that's who we are. We're just broken. We're clay pots, right? But here's what we try to do. This is what we are. And because we all rather be beautiful than broken, right, we portray ourselves as this beautiful piece of china. That's what we do, right? We really do a good job of it on Instagram, right? We do, and we try to do it in real life too. But if you just zoom back a little bit, it's a mess. It's just a mess, right? Because we're all broken. We're just clay pots. So what breaks us? What breaks us anyway? Well, first of all, we live in a sin-fallen world, right? The very fact that we live in a world that has been infected by sin takes its toll on us. And we're affected by that. We're chipped, we're cracked because of it. Sometimes it's because others have pursued their temporary pleasure at our expense, right? Because they're sinful. And then we reap the consequences of that, and it breaks us and it hurts us. Other times, it's because of our own sin. That's what breaks us and cracks us. When we choose to pursue temporary pleasure instead of walking in obedience to the living God, and we seek that instant gratification, and then as a result, we're cracked and we're broken. Sometimes we're cracked and broken because of our fears, and we let them overtake us, or the distractions, and we focus on those instead of on the living God. Or we let doubt creep in, and we're cracked and we're broken. But I want you to know something, ladies. You're not alone. You're not the only one. that's cracked and broken. And I think you all hopefully received a little thing on your way in. If you didn't, would you raise your hand and we'll have somebody get those to you? But would you open it up and on the inside, take out that little piece of paper? Here, thanks. Okay, looks like this. I brought mine, but it wasn't. Thank you. Okay, now what I want you to do is nobody is gonna know that this is yours. Do not put your name on it, okay? And just mark, just go through the list, mark which one of these things apply to you. And then when you're done, just fold it in half, okay? Let's go through it real quickly. Pardon me? Oh, ever in your life. Yeah, if this has ever been your situation, ever. Good question. Okay, are we about done? So when you're done, be sure and fold it in half, and then would you pass it to the aisle, because we're going to collect them and redistribute them, okay? So there's gals here that are going to pick those up and then rehand them out. So you'll get one, but you won't know whose it is. These are the things, those things that were marked are representing some of those broken places and some of those places I think that we try really hard to cover up, that we don't really want anybody to know about, you know, and so we try to present ourselves as all is well, all is perfect, I have it all together, there's no cracks here. Right? There's no broken places here. I'm on display as this perfect piece of china. And underneath it all, we really are cracked and broken, right? And you know what we do when we really try to cover it up and present ourselves as this beautiful piece of china is, what are we doing? We're really putting ourselves on display, right? That's where we're really about me and about what you think of me and how I want others to perceive me. And we're really putting ourselves on display when we try to cover up all those cracked and broken places. Did we get all of those? Are they all redistributed? Oh no, they're mixing them up and now they're gonna come back and redistribute. So when you get yours, just know that it's somebody in the room, but we have no idea who. And we're going to take those then and pass them out as, you know, quickly as we can. Otherwise, I'm just going to keep like blah, 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 blah. All right. So pass those out really fast, okay? Do it in record time. Just grab one and move on. All right, how are we doing? Are we about done? We getting there? oh, okay, this section needs some over here. How are we doing? Okay, if you haven't received one yet, could you raise your hand so the gals would know where to go? Thank you. Oh, we have an empty basket here. Gals over here. All right, we're getting there. Yay. Just a few more over in this section right here, and we're wrapping up. All right, very good. Oh, one way up here, and one over here, a couple over here. Okay, we're getting there. Yay. Yeah, I know that's a little bit difficult in a room this size, so thank you for doing that and bearing with us as we got that done. So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to read through these, and you look at the card that was just given to you, and if it's marked, stand up, okay? I mean, when I say the thing. Okay, so looking at your card, if you have experienced deep grief, stand up. Look around. That's a lot of hurt, isn't it? Yeah, and I'm sorry. It's hard. Okay, sit down. Okay. How about have experienced an abortion, gone through that? Yeah. Do you know, look at this, and I think this is really relatively low statistics. The statistics are 1 in 4 women in the church have had an abortion, and there's a lot of pain that goes along with that, right? So know that there's hurting women among you. It's a deep hurt. Okay. What about struggle with anxiousness or anxiety? Stand up. Right? Yeah. Yeah, pretty much all of us, right? Yeah, it's a real struggle. It really is. Okay. Dude, I just stay standing, right? Okay. Financial ruin. You've experienced that at some point. All right. Yeah. Okay, look around. How about physical or emotional abuse? Stand if you've... It's a lot of hurt. At the hand of other people, right? Because we live in a sin-infected world. And so it affects us. And it causes us to be cracked and broken. Okay, sit down. How about being lonely or feeling like an outcast? Yeah. It's a lot of loneliness, a lot of loneliness. And you look around the room, it doesn't have to be that way, right? We can be here with each other. We can walk life alongside each other. We don't have to be lonely, but we feel it so often. Okay. How about trapped in addiction at one time or another? Yeah. There's a lot of masking of real hurt, right, in the addiction that happens. Okay, you can sit down. How about difficult marriage or divorce? Okay, yeah. True. You're right. Okay, rebellious children. Deep heartache for moms, right? Yeah. Okay, you can sit down. Thank you. Have endured intense pain or illness? We live in a sin-fallen world, don't we? The result of sin is our bodies sometime take the toll of that. Okay, just feeling ugly and unacceptable. Yeah. We don't measure up to the standard the world tells us, right? And so consequently, we're not content with how God has made us. So we feel that so deeply. Okay. You can sit down. How about exhaustion? Does that mean you're just tired from the weekend or? Yeah. Okay. How about aimless or no purpose? Kind of that depression piece too in there, right? Okay. All right. You can sit down. Thank you for doing that and participating in that. Now, I didn't do that so that you could feel so discouraged as you went home. But I do want you to notice that you are not alone, right? You're not alone in your struggle and your trouble. And I want us just for that moment to feel the magnitude of how broken we really are. We are broken. And when you look at that, there is no way that we can, in our own power and ability, fix it, right? It's too much. It's too much. We're just broken pots. And the good news is we don't have to fix it. God never called us to fix it. Instead, he asks us for his glory to shine through those broken places. I want you to consider now that for every one of those broken places, there is an opportunity to behold who God is, to look to who he is. And in your little Grip of Glory booklet, there's also a page that says fettered to his glory. So every one of those areas that we just identified, and we certainly didn't identify all the hard and broken places in our lives, but there is a but God. For every single place, there's a but God. And we can choose to think about our hurt, our pain, our cracks, our broken places, or we can choose to think about who God is. Experience deep grief? Yes, it hurts. We do not deny that at all. But God is the great comforter, right? But God. Gone through abortion? But God forgives completely. Or for any sin, right? It's not just a special sin, any sin. But God forgives completely. Anxious, anxiety, but God, he's given the gospel, right? So we don't have to stay there, but he also promises peace and he invites us to cast our cares on him. But God. Financial ruin, but God promises he will meet our needs. Maybe not in the way we were hoping, right? But he will meet our needs and he knows what's best, so we can trust him in that. How about physical or emotional abuse? Again, the answer is God, but God is the great healer. Lonely, but God will never leave you. He loves you completely, no strings attached. Trapped in addiction, but God sets the captive free and he breaks the chains, right? Again, that's a stronghold, it's a real stronghold, but God can break that chain. Difficult marriage or divorce, God will sustain you. He will, he's promised, that's who he is. Rebellious child, there's so much comfort in knowing, but God loves him even more than you do. Physical pain, endured that. Illness, but God promises that one day we will be made new. And in the meanwhile, he's going to give us strength to endure. Feeling basically unacceptable to other people. You don't measure up. But God is the one who has perfectly woven you together. Exhaustion, but God's promised in our weakness, he is strong, right? Aimless, no purpose, but God. He has a particular purpose and plan for each one of our lives, and it's to put him on display. We know that for sure, right? For every one of those cracks, every one of those broken places, there's a but God. But God, we just need to behold who he is and claim the truth about who he is and tell ourselves the truth about who he is. And ladies, if all those but God statements come across as bumper sticker slogans, I'm really sorry. I don't want it to be like that. Because God is not just a bumper sticker slogan. He's so much more than that. Those but God statements are truth about who he is. And it's in those broken places that he wants to shine through. Let's read again 2 Corinthians 4:6. For God who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. I'm going to ask the guys to put a picture of a pot here where the light is shining through. Isn't that beautiful? What is your eye drawn to? The light, right? It's not the broken places. It's the light that's shining through the broken places. Those broken places are just places that God can come in and heal and shine through. So no matter what's been broken, God can heal. We behold him. We look to him. We trust him. And we tell ourselves the truth about who he is. And we become better to him and his glory. And we become overcome with who he is. I want to circle back to the questions that we started with way back on Friday night, which kind of seems like a long time now, right? But we started asking ourselves some questions about helping us to decide, are we in a rut, a spiritual rut, right? So I want to go back to those. First question that we asked was, am I docile? Place it when it comes to spiritual things. Wow. When we consider all that we have talked about and looked at in Scripture, all that Paul wanted the Corinthians to grab hold of, there doesn't seem to be a lot of place to just be complacent and docile, right? Am I right? Are you with me on that? Am I leery of being transparent? Parent, preferring to keep my real struggles hidden and isolate. Remember how many people stood up when they said lonely, right? We don't have to stay there, ladies. We don't have to stay there. We can live in relationship, genuine relationship with one another. We don't have to portray ourselves as that perfect piece of china. We can just admit, yep, I'm a broken pot. But God is healing me. He's transforming me. And I want him to be the one that shines through. Do I lack a desire to serve? When we consider what God has done for us, we're going to jump at the opportunity to serve, right? We're going to serve because we love him. We're going to want to get right in there. Not because we're trying to earn his favor or do the right thing, but simply as a response to all that he has done for us. Do I think more of what I'm getting than what I can give? How backwards is that, right? When we think about what we have already been given, the new life that we've been given in Christ. We've already been given so much. We don't need to think about what more can I get, right? Is our time with the Lord and in His Word more hit and miss than consistent and compelling? You know what? I think if we really approach God's Word with more of an attitude of, I want to behold you, I want to consider who you are, than just, oh, I want to get that off my list today so I can move on to the next thing, or so I can get a little tidbit for myself to help me get through the day. But we approach God's Word with that attitude of, I want to know who you are, God. And you've told it to me in your Word, so I want to behold you. I want to know you. And as you head home, you probably already noticed, but in the in your note journals, there's a 30-day challenge, and it is simply to get us in the habit of looking at Scripture as God being the main character and to discover who He is as we look at Scripture. And so every day it just sends us to one place in Scripture and simply asks the question, what do I discover about who God is? And then, because of what I've discovered about who God is, how does that impact me? So I just want to encourage you to think about doing that in the next 30 days and then evaluate at the end of the 30 days. You're going to know God more. You're going to know God more. And those chains that are going to want to sneak back in, they're not going to have opportunity because you're going to be holding who God is. And He's the chain breaker, right? Is God confined to a compartment of my life rather than my consuming desire? Oh my goodness. As we discover more and more about who God is, He's going to consume us. He is. He's not going to just be able to be put in a little compartment of our life or fit into the box that we put Him in. He's going to consume us. Do I prefer rules, regulations, and stipulations rather than a relationship? I don't see this rules and regulations. I see God calling us into relationship with Him, and then we're going to respond in obedience because we love Him. Right? And finally, is my life busy but not invested in eternal things? When we consider who God is, those other things that we are so tempted to be about, they're not going to compare. It's not going to be worth spending all your time and all your energy and all your focus on these things that aren't going to matter in eternity because they don't compare to the living God, right? I think God really just wants to set us free, to live in freedom, to leave the ruts behind, and live in relationship with Him. So as we leave, I want to just wrap up with a little portion from this little In the Grip of Glory. And I would also encourage you, along with doing that 30-day challenge, I'm not kidding, read this every day with it. It's just Scripture. It's just Scripture that has been put to words. And it really is, it focuses on the glory of God and the gospel, because in the gospel, right, remember how we talked about it, that's the place where God's glory is most dense. And so as you consider the gospel, the glory of God, and you look at who He is, God's going to transform you, and He's going to continue that transforming work, and He's going to break chains. So as we wrap up, I want to start with, if you open the book, there's that first page that says, In the Grip of Glory, the Gospel for Everyday Living. Not that page. Go to the next page. Okay? It says at the top, For He is Glorious. God's ways are higher than my own. His thoughts like the heavens are beyond my comprehension. He existed before creation and crafted the universe from nothing. He sets the boundary lines for the ocean and commands lightning to where it should strike. It was by His breath the starry host emerged. He embodies greatness, goodness, all that is holy, pouring out mercy and distributing justice perfectly and precisely. He brings all that is good. Every moment, step, and heartbeat is given by him. I rest in the truth that he is in control of all things. Hurt, despair, and I might add cracked places, and terror try to creep in and conquer those whom he created. But he cannot be overcome. He is the light shining in the darkness. This God, the true God, the only God, is worthy of all praise. He has allowed me to delight in his presence and glory. I seek him out, for he sought me. So I may delight as I offer him my obedience as an act of love. Created in his image, I have the privilege of living to glorify him as one reconciled to him by his great love. Let's pray. Lord, we're overcome. We're overcome by who you are. Lord, forgive us for all those times that we've tried to fix our own cracked places. Because those are the very places, Lord, that only you can heal. And you want to heal. And then you want to shine through so that others can see who you are in us. Father, help us not to return to those chains, those fetters that keep us stuck in ruts, routine, the normal. Lord, would you please fetter us to you? Help us to continue to seek out who you are, to behold you, to behold your glory. And then as a result, would you do your transforming work in us? God, we give you great praise, and ourselves as an offering to you. In your Son's name, amen.